ஹலோ அண்ட் வெல்கம் டு சங்கம் லிட். திஸ் இஸ் நந்தினி கார்கி அண்ட் இன் திஸ் எபிசோட் வி பர்சீவ் அ ஸ்ட்ரைக்கிங் போய்டிக் டிவைஸ் டிப்ளாய்ட் வித் டெக்ஸ்டரிட்டி ஆஸ் போர்ட்ரேட் இன் சங்கம் லிட்ரரி ஒர்க் புறநானூறு 394 பென்ட் அபவுட் தி லீடர் சோழிய ஏனாதி திருக்குட்டுவன் பை த போயட் சோனாட்டு எரிச்சலூர் மாடலன் மதுரை குமரனார். Set in the category of Padanthinai or praise, the verse sketches the leader's generosity in a unique manner. சிலை உலாய் நிமிர்ந்த சாந்து படுமார்பின் ஒளி கதிர் கழனி வெண்குடை கிளவோன் வழி துஞ்சு தடக்கை வாய்வாள் குட்டுவன் வள்ளியன் ஆதல் வையகம் புகழினும் உள்ளல் ஓம்புமின் உயர்மொழி புலவீர் யானும் இருள் நிலா கழிந்த பகல் செய் வைகரை ஒரு கண் மாக்கினை தெளிர்ப்ப ஒற்றி பாடு இமிழ் முரசின் இயல்தேர் தந்தை வாடா வஞ்சி பாடினேனாக அகம்மளி உவகையொடு அணுகல் வேண்டி கொன்ற சினம் தனியா புலவுனாறு மறுப்பின் வெஞ்சின வேளம் நல்கினன் அஞ்சியான் அது பெயர்த்தனாக தான் அது சிறிது என உடர்ந்தமை நாணி பிரிதும் ஓர் பெருங்களிறு நல்கியோனே அதற்கொண்டு இரும்பேரொக்கல் பெரும் புலம்புரினும் துண்ணரும் பரிசில் தரும் என என்றும் செல்லேன் அவன் குன்றுகளு நாட்டே. This leader's name is a contradiction of sorts because the epithet Kuttuvan indicates he belongs to the Chera country. However, the other part of his name Choliya Yenadi means commander-in-chief of the Cholas. How this came about must be an interesting story in itself. Perhaps inspired by the interesting combination of this leader's name, the poet employs a novel technique to portray his qualities. The poet's words can be translated as follows. Having a sandal-coated chest upright owing to endless practice with the bow and fields filled with luxuriant crops is the leader of the town of Venkudai, the one having thick arms where strength takes forever refuge and the one with victorious swords, Kuttuvan. Even though the world entire praises him saying he is so generous, please do not think it is so, O poets who render noble words. For one day, at a time when the dark moon was fading and dawn was breaking, striking against the eye of my huge kinai drum, I sang the praises of his father who wielded chariots many and made war drums resound as the unfading vanji songs of battle conquest. With a happiness that brimmed over from his heart, wanting for me to approach him, he rendered unto me a furious battle elephant, wafting with the smell of flesh, its rage not yet calmed. Scared, I sent the elephant back to him. Thinking that I had considered it to be too small a reward, he felt ashamed and rendered another even bigger elephant along with that. Because of this, even if my huge group of kitten can suffer and lament, thinking he would render unreachable rewards, I would never ever go to his mountain-rich country. Let's take a deep dive into the nuances. The poet starts, as is custom, praising the sandal-streaked chest of this leader and indicating that's always upright because of the long years using the bow and thus throws light on the leader's skill by talking about his physical feature. Next, the land this leader rules is also fertile, having lush crops, the poet continues, adding that its name is Venkudai, translated as white umbrella, which should have come from this oft-used phrase for the royal umbrella, symbolizing the good rule of a leader. More praise is laid at the feet of or rather the arms of this leader by sketching how strength has taken an eternal residence there. There's some mention of victorious swords too. Just when we are thinking the poet is stacking soaring accolades one on top of the other, suddenly he topples this tower of praise and tells to all the listening poets that the world may tell this ruler is generous, but prevent yourselves from thinking so. Then he goes on to clarify the reason for this statement and transports them to a morning when the sky was bidding bye to the moon and welcoming the sun. The poet seems to have gone drumming and singing the praises of the leader's father. Listening to this, the leader becomes overjoyed and, wanting to shower his appreciation on the poet, sends him the gift of an elephant. Isn't that the coveted gift of many a poet? However, the poet sketches this elephant as one just back from its exploits in the battlefield, still smelling of blood and flesh and in a fury too. The poet is frightened by the sight of this elephant and he seems to have sent it back to the leader. Noting that his reward was returned, the leader mistakenly assumes that the poet must have considered it to be too small for his standing, and so, to make up for that, he sends the poet an even bigger, wilder elephant. And so, the poet concludes saying, no matter how much his kith and kin suffer in hunger, he is never going back to the leader, thinking he will give him unapproachable gifts. A classic example of the poetic device called in Tamil as Vanja Pugalchi Ani, implying the scenario when either the poet insults the protagonist by praising them or praises the protagonist by insulting them. The closest element I could find in English was the device of verbal irony when a person says one thing and means another thing entirely. The highlight in this verse is the leader imagining that the poet must have thought the gift of that elephant to be too small. I burst out laughing when I read that line. In the scene preceding this one, the poet, no doubt thin and famished because of all his wandering, arriving with hope at the leader's gates and being startled by the gift of this huge and wild elephant, has such a comedic effect too. And in the end is that elegant wordplay talking about unreachable rewards, implying both a reward beyond one's wildest dreams and also a real unreachable roaring elephant in front. In short, even if the poet had written 100 lines of praise, that wouldn't have been as effective as this single note of seeming censure. It's one of those verses that show us that humor is truly the pinnacle of human cognition. Thanks for listening to this episode of Sangam Lit and journeying with me to ancient lands and minds. Please visit nandinikarki.com to share your thoughts and do spread the word about Sangam Lit. Until next time, Nandri Vanakkam.